Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth. And with us again is Christopher Harlali. For those who don't remember Christopher, you should, from the previous episode. And you should go out and find him at DD Geopolitics. And if you haven't, you should. Do it. Do it now. See the light that's turned on. Do it now. Christopher is former U.S. Army officer, like yours truly. He also served with the Kurds because he's half Kurdish, the Syrian Kurds, the ones that got a big knife in their back from Uncle Trump all 3 months ago. He told them that that was a mistake figuring on the Americans. They said, the majority said, no, they would never betray us, except like every other ally, just like the English do. Some people don't learn from history, unfortunately. And this is what we're going to be talking about, because apparently some of the Kurds still don't learn from history. And some of the exiled Kurdish groups from Iran that were trying to create an independent Kurdistan in Iran and are sitting in Iraq are now talking with Uncle Sam about, starting something. Now, the Kurds in Iran apparently have said, hell no. But the Kurds in Iraq seem to not have gotten the clue from the Syrian Kurds. What say ye? Corruption, stupidity, or suicidal death wish?
Listen, at this point, it's a suicidal death wish for any of those groups that want to cross the border. Iran is still a powerful and nation state. It has resolve. It still has its military mostly intact. Okay, they've taken out some sites. They've taken out some barracks. But the military is comprised of soldiers, and they have not killed a million soldiers. They've killed, thousands of people so far, including mostly civilians. But the military is still, one thing that people need to understand, and I did a video about this, I know that you know this very well. Iran operates on a decentralized mosaic defense program. And this
very
is their
smart.
Plan. Very smart. They've studied Mao, Che, they studied the partisans in the Great Patriotic War. They studied Algeria, Vietnam, you name it, Angola. They've seen how revolutionary insurgencies, all of these things happen. And so they're looking at asymmetric warfare. They're looking at the possibility of defeating a much larger, much more technologically superior enemy with a few...
I would say that's questionable at the moment, by the way. On both accounts.
We can certainly put that up to question, but there's no doubt that the U.S. is an extremely formidable power.
Yes.
And especially in world history. But what Iran has going for it is time and this decentralized model where they can kill all the top people. They can even go three deep and they will still have replacements for everybody at all levels. And that's very smart. That's what they've been able to do. So anyone who thinks that they're going to walk in there and that regime change was going to be easy was sorely mistaken and clearly didn't read the military journals of the Iranian military that I did, because they're online. They're public information. You can go and see them. We have an Army War College. They have an Iranian equivalent and they have a journal, open access. You can go read it. Most of it's in Persian, but if you translate, it's very interesting what they're talking about, theory. But of course, who's reading? They're all enjoying the Epstein Island. So nobody's reading these defense treaties and theories. And if they are, it's not getting up to Trump. So the Kurds now have a possibility of trying to foment an armed insurrection. Many of them have said no. Some of them continue to push for it, especially this union of groups that has united. Mm-hmm. The Iraqi Kurds have said no to this. They don't want this problem. They don't want to invite more chaos on their own soil when they've dealt with decades of problems. They had ISIS, they had Saddam, they had you name it. So they don't want these kind of problems. And already drones are flying all over the place in Erbil and Sulaymaniyah. They just don't want this to escalate anymore. And we had, for example, Talabani, we had Barzani, we had all these people out there speaking and saying, look, this is not our conflict. This is not our issue. And we don't approve of anyone using our territory for launching operations against Islamic Republic of Iran. It's a neighbor. We have a relationship with it. And that's it. So I think that now the kind of euphoria at the beginning of, all these Kurds are going to go over the border. I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen. Certainly some have gone over the border. There are some kind of murmuring reports of some skirmishes, but they are always localized, very small, two, three people, these kind of groups that go around shooting with a Kalashnikov and then the security forces engage, a couple people dead on both sides and that's it. So it's not like an actual full-fledged process of separatism. We are seeing some kind of pockets of resistance, but nothing like we've seen, for example, in Syria after the civil war started, or the regime change war, I like to say. Nothing, for example, in Iraq at the end of the Persian Gulf War, where you had Saddam and then the Kurds that broke away and you had the no-fly zone. This is not happening in Iran at this point. And Iran has proven to be much more resilient, which I think a lot of onlookers, a lot of pundits, and sort of this NGO complex type, they were not predicting it. They were not expecting it. They were expecting, we're going to go in there like Venezuela, kill Khamenei, kill all these generals, kill a couple politicians, and the whole deck's going to fall.
Well,
But that's
that's
not what happened.
because there's two reasons for this, if you look at it realistically. First of all, and you know this as well, the Americans don't understand foreign cultures. They don't want to understand foreign cultures. Not that they couldn't. They just don't give a damn. They're a bunch of little brown people over there. They're all the same. I mean, you know that. You know the mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Just like they look a bunch of white Slav things over there. They're all the same. They don't go into cultural for whatever reason. They never really have into cultural details. And Iran, unlike, say, Saddam, is not a one-man show. It's a system that the people in that system believe in.
Correct.
It's not a one-man rule or a very small clique. People are willing to die for that system, whether it's from a religious point of view or secular point of view, but they're willing to die for that system. Knowing that they may be dying, and the next guy up going, well, okay, it's my turn. I'll do my part until I die, and then the next guy, and its entire mentality. It's very hard to defeat that kind of mentality because it's deep. I mean,
Absolutely.
you can corrupt that mentality over time, but just blowing things up doesn't work, does it now?
No, of course not. Actually, it further cements that government or whoever's in power at that time, because you have this rally around the flag effect, which you and I have been speaking about since day
Oh yeah.
one. This was bound to happen. Iran is not like Iraq and Afghanistan. It's very different. It's a civilization state, like we've said time and time again. It has a very strong national historic memory, just like Russia does, just like China does. So when people come inside, it's not only religious, it's deeply nationalist. People are like, look, our country's been around longer than you both have existed combined for many times over. So please, you want to come? We've already had Genghis Khan, Hulagu Khan, we had Alexander, we had how many people came and went? We'll take you on too.
Yeah, I mean, so look, England as we know it formed about in the 1200s. Russia as a concept was around by the 900s, and northern areas were much earlier than that. And then you get Iran, which was around about 2,000 years before that.
Yep.
So, maybe, well, it depends who you ask. Some say from the Hittites or earlier, some say for the Assyrians and such. But either way, Iran's been around for anywhere from 3 to 5,000 years, maybe longer, if you believe a lot of stuff that comes out of more modern archaeology or the forbidden timelines. That's But right, and you're right. It's a civilizational concept. Now, you look at the people that are doing the demonstrations in the West. Do you think those are actual Persians, or do you think those are stand-ins? Because I mean, people that don't give a damn that children are being murdered, they don't give a damn. They so want to be in power, they don't care how many of their own people die in the process.
Listen, the Iranian diaspora is not monolithic. You have people like me, for example, in the diaspora who are supportive of the government, very patriotic, very nationalist. We love our country. We love its anti-imperialist line. We love our relationship with Russia, with China, with the BRICS, with the global South. Then you have others who are part of the former regime or liberals who see the West as the classic American dream. The West is going to bring freedom, democracy, human rights.
Where has this happened before?
Nowhere, but
Okay, just checking. Wait a minute, just checking.
that's what they're thinking. So they're selling that mythology. A lot of the ones in the US, especially in Los Angeles, are Iranian Jews. So they actually were polled, and most of them said that their loyalty was to Israel, not to Iran. So you've seen that as well. So you have a makeup, and then you have separatists. You have Baluchis in the diaspora, Kurds in the diaspora, Arabs in the diaspora, who are sometimes more separatist, more against the government for separatist reasons, for, their own national liberation struggles, quote unquote. But I think that this phenomena is not new. You see that with the Chinese diaspora. You see it with the Russian diaspora. We've seen it, of course.
Correct.
We've seen a lot of emigre Russian scholars in the US who are very against the Russian government, very against Ruski Mir and the Orthodox Church and the role of the military now, the special military operation, you name it. So for me, I simply see these people as not only as not worthy of even bearing the name Iranian, but as absolute traitors to the nation. Because at a time of great personal and collective sacrifice, at a time when so many are doing so much to protect the nation and to protect the people, they are out there advocating for even more destruction. Not only the killing of schoolgirls, not only the killing of civilians, but the bombing of infrastructure, the bombing of cultural heritage. Palaces that are double, triple, quadruple the age of the United States and way more than
That's not that
Israel.
hard.
No, it's not
Wait,
that hard,
that's really not that hard.
but what I mean to say is that this is really disturbing in my opinion. And not only that, we've seen there are multiple articles, and I just read one today from The Guardian, that Iranians in the diaspora are fighting amongst each other, even violently. There's been deaths already. There's been
Really?
deaths of people, yes. There's been deaths of one man, I believe it was in Germany or in, De I have to look it up, who was killed by monarchists because he wouldn't put up the Javid Shah and the Iranian flag with the lion and the sun, the old flag. He wouldn't put it up in his restaurant. So they beat him up and killed him. So this is very
Jeez.
serious. It's creating tensions. It's creating a lot of animosity within the community. A poll done in the US said that there's pretty much an even split 50-50 of Iranians who support this and Iranians who don't. So it's not all the diaspora. Many of the diaspora are saying, look, of course, we have criticisms. Most of them have criticisms. Very few are like me who have almost no criticisms and, let's go. But many have criticisms. And okay, they can have criticisms. Even Ayatollah Khamenei, the dear departed martyr, said, we are okay with criticisms. It's normal. It's a process, right? We accept criticism. But violent overthrow of the government is not tolerated, nor is the advocation, sort of advocacy for bombing our country, bombing regime change, bombing democracy in. And that's not how it happens. It's not how it works. And Iran is far more democratic, far more egalitarian than any of the Gulf monarchies out there. Tell me how much rights Pakistanis and Bangladeshis have in UAE and Qatar that they develop everything there. They basically are slave labor for that economy. How about the Shia population in Bahrain? How about the Shias in Saudi Arabia? Whereas in Tehran, Sunnis can pray in mosques. Sunnis are open to pray. Baluchis, Arabs who are Sunni, there are no
Wait a
problem.
minute. What about all the Christian churches in Saudi Arabia?
There are none. Do you know
Exactly.
that? Right. But in Iran, we have how many? Over a million Christians. We have Christians in the parliament. We have churches from Armenia that go back millennia, that go back to the beginnings of when Armenia became a Christian state, third, fourth century. So for me, when I see the diaspora, it's deeply disheartening. And I believe, my personal belief, and also I heard from some colleagues, that there's a lot of money flowing from the US and Israel to a lot of these different groups. A
That's
lot of
without saying. That's absolutely
money.
without saying.
So it's like, here, take $50 or $100, come to this demonstration and get wild, Javid Shah and blah, 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 say this, say that. And that's what they're doing. And that's the sad part, is that this is AstroTurfed for sure. No
To some
doubt.
degree, all of these demonstrations are AstroTurf. You think all the Irish that go on these pro-Ukrainian demonstrations do it because, hey, I got a day off. Let's go demonstrate for the Ukrainians that are getting
Oh, come
freebies
on.
left and right. They get 200, 300 euro and they go out and demonstrate. I mean, that's the, that is, that's the foundation stone of all of these demonstrations is you pay
Yeah.
off AstroTurfing.
Oh,
But
yeah.
and I liked the Russian bard oh good Lord, why can't I just remember? Vysotsky. Oh good Lord.
Vysotsky. Yeah.
Vysotsky, God rest his soul. He had a lot of problems with the Soviet government. And he was on tour in New York because, believe it or not, yes, the Soviet Union allowed people out. Well,
Oh,
no.
yeah.
It was more difficult to get out on tour or something, but they did. And he had a heroin problem, which is actually what he died from, a heart attack from OD. But so he was, and the West knew he had issues with the Soviet government. And the American journalists surrounded him, and there's a video of it if you want to watch it. So they asked Vysotsky, about his issues with the Soviet government and this and that, and his freedom of speech. And you know what he said to them? I have questions for my government. I'm sure as hell I'm not going to discuss them with you.
The right answer. The
Yeah,
right.
what these people, and yes, you're right. There are Russian, they're ethnic Russians in the U.S. and other countries that would just love to watch Russia get bombed. These are race traitors. I don't know how else to put them. These are race traitors. You can want to change government. You can have issues. I'm a monarchist myself. But the moment you go over that line of anything for power, including the murder of your own people's women and children, you're a race traitor. Call it what you want, but that's how it is. It's the lowest of the low.
It is, of course, it's absolutely despicable and horrendous, and even they're justifying the killing of the schoolgirls you
I
saw.
know. I've saw some videos.
It was horrific. I mean, how can you do that? Can you imagine people justifying the killing of kids, innocent kids in Donbass? You and I have been to Donbass many
Oh.
times. We've seen
Yeah, well,
all that.
they are. They have. The Russian liberals have.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's
Yeah.
sick. It's absolutely sick. You know, I believe that these kind of people should be stripped of their citizenship. Sure, you can have this opinion, but you cannot be part of the nation at that. You cannot benefit from the sacrifice of many of our fine men and women who are fighting in Donbass, especially since 2014 and especially after since 2022 in the special military operation. You can't benefit from all of the successes, all of the heroism by saying this kind of stuff. I don't believe it. And actually, there's been a proposal now. I don't know if you know, in
Yes.
Iran. In Iran, there has been, maybe your viewers are not aware, the Iranian government has put forward a mechanism. Anyone who's supported with campaigning, with lobbying, financial support, with sort of media support, the bombing and the campaign against Iran will be stripped of their citizenship, and all of their properties in Iran will be confiscated. And that property will be divvied up by the government to the families of those victims. And you know what? I support it.
Oh,
You
support.
cannot have it both ways. You cannot, on one side, say bomb the country to the Stone Age and get rid of the mullahs, the ayatollahs, the theocracy, blah, blah, blah. And then at the other side, make money off of Iran, make money off of that government, and have property and luxury estates in the Caspian Sea and live a nice life. No, I'm sorry. You got to pick and choose. You're a patriot or you're a traitor. I don't see any other ways.
Well, you could be neutral. There's that other option. You just keep your mouth shut.
Keep your
We've
mouth
had this
shut.
problem with liberals. A lot of liberals that ran out of Russia, they're still making money out of Russia, badmouth Russia, and some of them have had their property confiscated, as it should be. I don't know. I don't think they've been ever stripped of citizenship, but they have legal or criminal actions waiting for them, criminal cases. But there's a proposal. What I said yes to was, and actually, there's a Russian proposal from one of the deputies for the dual citizenship to people who are sitting in, say, Israel, the US, or what have you, are writing online that they're thrilled that these kids have been murdered, killed them all, blah, blah, blah. It's like, we don't want these people in Russia. Strip them of their Russian citizenship. They got Israeli, or they got American, or they got British. Sit there. We don't want any of these sites, because these people are psychopaths.
The psychopaths, of course. Of course. I don't want to see, that's why I don't support bombing Ukrainian kids. They've done no wrong. They are people, really.
Yeah.
They're part of the nation. They're part of the historic peoples. So that's why people are like, how come Russia takes so long in special military operation? Because they're not the United States or Israel. They're not the UK. They're not going to go carpet bomb the country. They're not going to go, destroy building block by block and just level the whole place. They want to protect that population. And most Ukrainians went to Russia. They didn't go to the
Oh
West.
yeah,
Most
yes.
Ukrainians came to Russia, got Russian citizenship, and are equals in the society because they're the same people. So
Yeah.
for me, I just don't understand. I don't understand this line of thinking and this way of being, except that it is artificial. It is created, it is nurtured by the enemies, by those who seek the destruction of Russia or Iran or China or you name it, other countries out there.
There's another element. I've got an uncle who does this, by the way. By the way, your previous, my mother will come out. It's like, we should just wipe England off the face of the earth with nuclear weapons. I'm like, okay. Well, there's children in England.
That's
as an
true.
Orthodox Christian, there's children in England. I don't mind taking out, maybe taking out the levers of government or the corporations and the factories building the missiles or flying in Russia. I'm all for that. That's a legitimate military target. But no, you don't target the civilians. We're not Westerners. We don't murder civilians. And I mean that with as much contempt as I can say, because if you read Western history and you know Western history, you know how it goes. We
Oh,
don't do that.
for sure.
Because we're the fanatics.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely right. Absolutely.
The fanatics leave the people alive. The godly people exterminate everybody that they don't like. In the amongst the Russian diaspora, there's the worst propaganda, anti-Russian propaganda, is from the Russian diaspora in America.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, I got an uncle who does this. He hasn't been. He was a former Soviet officer and a doctor. He hasn't been in Russia since 1991 or 1992. He tells everybody in California. He's in his early 80s. He tells everybody in California about how the communists are in power here, their gulags, and all this other crap. The
Oh,
last time
my.
I talked to him was like 6 years ago, and I said, "Look, why are you telling him this? Come here and see it for yourself." He's like, "I will never step foot in that country." And fine, then don't. Nobody's being. Stop lying. But
Stop
they
lying.
do that because their own lives aren't what they thought it was going to be. They're seeing their friends or their relatives' lives back in the home country moving forward. And they have to psychologically somehow justify their sometimes very unwise decisions
Oh,
when
yeah,
they
of
move.
course.
And that's how they start to justify them in their own heads and to other people. And they believe their own crap.
You're right about that. You're definitely right about that.
So I don't know how to combat that. That's just out there.
Yeah, it's a reality that sadly we have to face, especially countries that have big diasporas. You face that as a reality. And a diaspora is oftentimes very out of step with the country, for good or for bad. It's just the reality of what diasporas are like. Some go out there and ossify. For example, I grew up with many Russians around me, and they were, part of the church abroad, right? Rokor. They were very conservative. They maintain this kind of monarchist kind of viewpoint, like Russian Empire never ended. It continues in there. And sadly, they divide it because some support the Russian Federation, others don't. And so you see that as well. You see that same thing, like somehow the communists still maintain power, like you were saying, the uncle kind of theory. It's just a reality,
It's just the Russian Empire thing. No
Yeah.
comments. No comments. And thanks to our enemies, we're getting it all back a piece at a time,
Piece by piece, piece
which we
by
wouldn't have done otherwise. But okay,
piece.
fine, no problem. We'll return to. Trump said he not Trump. Biden said he wanted to go back to 1991 borders. Like, are you sure about that?
Sure.
Or he also said, he was going to take Russia back to 1914. It's like, are you sure about that? We don't mind.
No,
We'll see. The
I
Poles
think
should be
that's
getting worried in that case. And the
good.
Finns.
Exactly.
Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Exactly right.
So what? Okay, your opinion. Because this is the topic of the day. Is Trump fully insane, or is he wilier than any fox and playing 55D, 100,000D chess, or is he just playing 1D checkers? Try playing 1D checkers.
I'm playing on the 1D checkers. Now, listen, in his first administration, we had pictures. There was a picture, I'm trying to remember where it was published, but his desk drawer was open, and there was a lot of medications, and there were some medications that were definitely for psycho. They were, I don't know if they were psychiatric kind of medication or definitely for mental health. And people were skeptical at the time, but of course he was normal functioning, but it was sort
Right,
of
right.
medication to kind of help him with concentration, things like that. I think, listen, he's now what, 80? He's up there in age, and he has a very unhealthy lifestyle. He
Oh,
has a very
yeah.
unhealthy diet. I mean, he's not eating borscht every day. He's eating Burger King every day. It can't be that healthy over time, over decades. So for me, I think that he's definitely in decline. He's definitely a little bit losing it. And
A
he's surrounded
little.
by sycophants who are huffing their own propaganda and their own bullshit, sorry to say. And they're just feeding it back to him. And it's this cycle. And nobody's questioning him. Nobody wants to say, what's going on in reality. Nobody wants to call out the elephant in the room. And so he doesn't have people around him, like a lot of the generals and other political staff that he had in the first administration, which he started to get rid of, you remember, bit by
Oh,
bit.
yeah.
He started to throw them out. And these were some very educated, very, top tier people. So I think when you analyze that and you look at it in totality and you see these kind of erratic tweets, we literally have a timeline. 6 hours later, he said something completely the opposite. 10 hours later, he said something the other direction. When the stock market opened, he said today, you saw today, he said, we're negotiating with Iran. Immediately, Iran said, we're not negotiating.
No.
We have no contact. What are you talking about? But he's trying to manipulate the markets because he knows he's on the losing end. He's trying to do damage
Oh, yeah.
control. This is damage control,
Oh,
but
yeah.
people are
Yeah.
starting to get aware to it and starting to realize that Trump doesn't have all of his mental faculties there. He's not all up there. And the people around him are not necessarily helping the situation. I think they're egging him on and pushing it further and further to the levels of absurdity. We haven't seen this kind of debacles that we've seen now. Have we seen a war like this ever done by the US with no objectives, no clear idea, no nothing? Just
Yeah,
let's just go to war.
Vietnam, Korea, well, Vietnam definitely, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Yugoslavia. Yeah, I think we've seen a few like this,
We've
with
seen
no
it because
objectives and no concept best. We drop a bomb and then what?
we have a few, but at least those ones had a pretext around either containment, around this, around who knows what. But this one just seems like they're just shooting in the dark. Every day they're changing the story and even the timeline. They're changing the timeline, the narrative. What is Iran actually accused of here? It's just fascinating to see. It's very, very bizarre. I think Americans are sick and tired. I was speaking to some
Yeah.
people in the States last night, and they're saying, "Look, we are exhausted. This is just too much for us. We've got gas prices going up. It's affecting the cost of living. It's affecting food. Everything across the board.
Yeah.
And for an average American in an election cycle for the midterms, you have to wonder what that's going to do. And in the meantime, you have to then think if Democrats come back to power, first of all, Trump will be a lame duck if they take one or both houses, basically.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
if they take the next presidency, this Ukraine situation is not going to end. It's actually going to escalate, I
Oh, it's
think.
not going to end with Trump either. It only
It's not
ends
going to
on
end
the
with Trump.
battlefield.
But I think if a Democrat comes, it could even get more fire. It could get even more violent because they're going to be like, absolutely, we're pro-NATO, pro-EU, pro-everything. Send it. Send it.
Well, that's the thing, though. If you look at realistically speaking, the Gulf is. Listen, let me ask you this. Because I've been checking. Has Trump attacked all the electric stations in Iran, or has he
Oh,
not? Okay,
no.
so he's backed off because there's mixed signals coming in. It's like, did he or didn't he? Okay.
Israel is attacking some stations, but not US at this point.
Look, the damage that's already done. As somebody who worked in the oil field services and EPC construction, technical construction companies, as a supply chain side, so I know how long it takes to. I've signed these contracts. I've negotiated contracts. I've signed these contracts for steel structures, for vessels that go into this. I know how long this stuff takes. You're looking at anywhere between half a year to maybe 3 years to 4 years at the level of damage now. The damage is growing,
Oh, yeah.
exponentially starting to grow. I mean, if there's no stop to this. If you're looking at the Gulf being out of commission, at least 50% for at least the next year and a half to 2 years, maybe longer. It may be even more before this is over. US, I mean, you know that inflation's not going anywhere. EU screwed beyond belief. They may have
Oh, yeah.
starvation this year. No
Oh, yeah.
fertilizer, baby. They don't take Russian fertilizer and they lost 30% more fertilizer in the market. And fertilizer is going up in price like crazy. So I don't know, EU is not going to be in the best of conditions, neither is the US. 2 years from now, that's a long time.
For sure. I don't disagree, but the US always has a tendency, at least at this point in its history, to just keep printing money and keep buying more debt, keep pushing off everything for the next generation to pay off if they ever can, which they can't at this point. It's just almost impossible.
It's not
So
almost, it is.
It is
That
impossible.
that's more than the entire value of America.
At this point, yeah.
Yes. And growing.
Wow. I mean, when you
I
think about that, it's just insane.
literally
It's
take the last nappy off the last baby and you still can't pay off the debt.
oh my. That's, I mean, at that point you have to then wonder what, when does the system collapse? When does the system really meet its end? And people are
This could
asking
be
that.
it. This could be
This could be
it.
it. This could be it. I mean,
Yeah.
we are seeing a transformation happening right now. I don't know what it's going to lead to, but certainly I think you and I both understand that this is a big transformative moment.
Well, look, a very large chunk of the world is not going to have oil and gas and fertilizer. Let's just put it realistically how it is. And by the way,
Australia's
U.S.
running out.
Yeah. By the way, U.S. purchased $500 million worth of Russian fertilizer last year. I'm sure it's going to go up, but the
Oh, yeah.
bidding wars are up. Prices are up on everything. I mean, it's not just a matter of price. Quite literally, there's not enough. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to deficit. Who's got the
Yep.
bigger bucks or the bigger guns to grab whatever they can?
Exactly.
Portions of Africa are going to be out of energy. Europe is going to be out of energy. Hungry people are mean.
Oh,
Hungry
yeah.
people watching their kids starve are meaner yet.
Oh, yeah.
What
Oh, yeah.
instability is coming down the road in the next 3 to 5 months?
For sure. Listen, I mean, we have looked at scenarios. You and I were in the military. There are a whole bunch of interesting books that people have written, papers, policy briefs about resource wars.
Oh, yeah.
Resource wars are a real thing. And if they come, people are going to fight over the basics, water. And look, we have a tax on desalination plants, right? Desalination plants. When you look at that, when you analyze that, if they take out a couple key facilities, if this escalates more, think where are people going to go without water?
They're not going to go. They're going to die. You're
They die.
talking about World War II casualties in a matter of a week.
I
I mean,
mean,
look realistically. Okay, so the Iranians have like 2 to 5% of the population that's dependent on desalination.
right.
You can find ways to feed that amount of people. Israel can feed all of its own people by water, but its agriculture sector will die on the spot because they
Yeah,
need
they
that for
need a
that.
bit.
And now
Yeah.
we go to the artificial nations in the Gulf. They're artificial nations. I mean, let's
Of
face
course
that
they are.
reality.
Of course they are.
The Saudis, probably about 30, 40% of the population will die off quite literally within days. Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, mass casualty event. No water
No water.
in the desert. And temperatures are hitting about 40 degrees plus right now.
Now
Celsius.
wait,
Celsius for
Celsius.
the American audience. Celsius. That's about 105, or I'm sorry, that's about 95 or 100 in Fahrenheit. How long can a human body survive without water? Less than a day in that kind of temperature?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that you're looking at devastation. You're looking at catastrophe, really. You're
You're
looking and
looking at corpses on top of corpses on top of corpses. People dying
absolutely,
from thirst.
absolutely.
You cannot feed that many people with water. Oh, I mean, if they were close to a river close 100 kilometers, 200 kilometers, some of these locations are friggin' 1,000 kilometers off.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Of
You
course.
can't
They're
bring enough water
all.
that fast to feed that many people. It's impossible. You can't move that many people out. There's, you're going to move 60 million people out?
Also, yeah, like, and even people were like, oh, we could just bring in bottled water. How?
How? The human body, on average, a human being needs, an adult human being needs about 2 liters of water a day to survive. On average. Okay, you can do less and you get headaches and you'll get other issues. But you're dealing in a dry, absolutely bone dry, 40 degree plus environment. Even if you're sitting in the shade, for God's sakes, man, if you've never been in a desert, in a sand desert, you have no idea what the hell that is.
I certainly have.
Yes,
Certainly.
I've been too. Only a couple of days in a pure sand desert, and I didn't, well, a week something, and I damn well didn't like it. I'll tell you flat out, I don't like deserts. But 3 liters on average.
Know, you need a lot of water. You
Yeah.
get to replenish. You get to replenish the body, and you have to also have electrolytes because you're sweating out all of that. All those
Yep.
salts and minerals and things, so you got to replenish that as well. You can't just drink water only solely
Yep.
because you're not replenishing those minerals. So
Chris, you know what the kicking chicken is.
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah, you've seen that before. I've seen it before. The kicking, for those who don't know what happens is when your body doesn't have enough salt in it, your nerve endings can't fire signals normally. And you go into an epileptic-like state. Your just body just drops and starts jerking, and the heart can stop because there's not enough salt in the blood to transfer electric signals. Go figure. We're built on electricity. We're a big biological battery.
There you go. The
Yes, they
meat
were.
juice
I think there'd be easier ways than to harvest humans. But that's a side. Maybe harvest donkeys. You don't have to make an artificial world for them. But it
Exactly.
doesn't make much of a movie,
That's
pigs
true.
escaping from their cold, where they wallow in an artificial mud in the Matrix forever, But yeah, you're right. Absolutely. How do you, 40, 50 million people. Okay, let's do the math. 3 liters of a person. Okay, granted, kids drink more. Let's just even say 2 liters a person. No movement. He just sits there on his arse. 2 liters for 60 million people. 120 million liters a day.
It's a
You
lot
need
of water.
the Mississippi twice over to feed that many people water, continuously, or at least the Mississippi River. Where are you
Oh
going to get
yeah.
that from?
Nowhere. Nowhere. And if you have the issue of the Strait of Hormuz, if you have questions about transportation, if the airport's closed, how are you going to get stuff in? You're going to have to transport it by trucks. With what infrastructure? With what capabilities? Who's going to go and drive all that way if they don't have water, they don't have resources? So when you start looking at the logistics of it, which you mentioned, so eloquently at the beginning, logistics are key. If people are not thinking about logistics, they're failing, which is why, for example, I was just listening to Larry Johnson and Judge Napolitano earlier today. And we had Scott Ritter on last night on our program on DD Geopolitics. And he
I
was
need to
saying,
get Ritter back on too. It's been
yeah,
three weeks. Definitely need to get him back on.
he's in Moscow, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I need frick. I forgot to write him again. I've been busy, so I'll write him today.
He's here. So we were talking, and you had Lindsey Graham saying we're going to send the Marines to Karg Island. So then, of course, we were what, like company grade officers? He's a field grade officer, right? So Scott has an idea, has a bigger picture. He was a weapons inspector. He has a more in-depth background in this realm. And he said, look, what are you going to do with the logistics? So, okay, you land them all there. How are you going to resupply? You're going to resupply by helicopter, by Osprey? You're going to resupply by what boats are going to cross through the Strait of Hormuz? So even just simple things like resupply, nobody's talking about. They assume that everything's going to be there. It's going to be Shangri-La. Everything's going to pop up like it's a Mario game. That's not how it works.
Christopher, I was even though I got up to major before I quit. I turned down the major's rank, but I was a staff officer in Operations 18th Airborne Corps, and
Oh
you
yeah.
start looking at the very big picture. You got four divisions plus, you basically got four and a half divisions, all the separate units that you have attached, and logistics is true. Operations is not logistics. That's S4, but S3 runs very close to S4 because or in this case G3 and G4 because we do the plan. But okay, so logistics, how are you going to support us? We need to know this, and yeah, logistics. And I know very well it's not sexy. It doesn't get movies made about it. The guy behind the wheel of the truck, going through war in the truck. You don't see that.
No.
But you know what? Without him, everybody dies.
Yeah, of
It's just
course.
as simple as everybody dies.
The war's lost.
Yep.
That's it. We go home.
Now imagine trying to even evacuate that many people. Say Iran says, "Okay, everybody pass who wants to pass. We'll allow any ship through with people on it." They probably would. I don't think they wouldn't. But how would you move 40, 50, 60 million people in a very short time of period? Period of time. Let me phrase that. And where would you move that many people that wouldn't collapse the next country over?
Exactly. Where would you move them? What would you do? It's not possible. It is not possible.
Now, my next question to you. Have you seen any evacuation plan for American civilians out of the Middle East from the US government?
Zero. In fact, I've heard the opposite. I've heard from people who are there stuck that they can't even get through, that there's an automated line, that they're basically like, you're on your own, good luck. There you go. There's the American government. See that? We're going to bring you democracy. Then they bomb you, and then they say, good luck.
Oh, but
The
do
same.
pay your taxes. It's tax season in the US.
Excuse me. Even if you renounce your citizenship, you have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time. It's like crazy. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
they'll suck the living life out of you to get their money's worth, but they won't go and out of their way for their citizens.
Russia got its citizens out. Russia helped other countries like Georgia get their citizens out. Other countries have gotten their citizens out. The ones that want to leave, of course. And the US has just, and how many families? I mean, look, where I had offer from Aramco before, and you go there with your family. So there's a lot of American workers on those oil fields, never mind professors and so on and so on, and just in Saudi Arabia alone that are there with their families, children, and the US government just doesn't give a damn. I mean, let's say the way it is, Trump doesn't give a damn about how many American civilians die. That could be dying from thirst in these countries. They're abandoned.
They're abandoned for sure. For sure they are. It's tragic for me. It shows a complete lack of loyalty to your citizens. Not only that, sending all of these troops into harm's way. Think about already how many soldiers have died and are wounded, and how many more.
Realistically, or the BS that they feed the media.
I think that there's more.
Oh, there's a lot more. I guarantee you that.
I think there's more. I just don't think they're telling the real numbers at this point.
I'd probably say at least 10 times more, if not more than that.
That many.
Well, look, I mean, what are they saying? Like 15 Americans have died? Seriously?
All those strikes, everything, it's raining every day.
I've seen the videos from Iranian FPV drones that are free flying in Kuwait and other places. There's been battles every single day for the 2,000 American troops in the Green Zone, Mossad, I'm sorry, Mosul and Erbil up north, and they're under battle every single day. You want to tell me nobody's died from those areas?
Not only that,
Seriously?
the Iraqi resistance hit the PX at one of the
Yeah.
military bases, and there were people inside, but there's been no reports of deaths or injuries from that. They're
There's,
hushing everything up
yeah.
because they don't want Trump to look bad.
The Green Zone. I mean, they're never mind the anti-aircraft systems have been taken out, like the Phalanx
Seriously.
bots. There's videos from across the Euphrates, people taking videos of areas of it burning all the time. They're under fire. You want to tell me no casualties from the American side on that?
Oh, come on. Come on.
My next question, though, for those guys, maybe they're bringing in the Marines, or but then again, they're moving so slow. And they're moving on by ship instead of by air. Scott and I, 3 weeks ago when this started, okay, 2.5 weeks ago, we were having a conversation. I was talking about those guys. He's like, look, they're going to have an armored convoy to get them out of there, bust through A-10s or Apaches covering. Have you seen an armored convoy? That would be the logical thing to do is evacuate them out. Now, the Poles have evacuated. The Spanish have evacuated out. They were allowed to leave. Americans aren't going to be allowed to leave.
No.
That's enemy number one. These other NATO countries, yeah, get out, just get on a plane and leave. How much ammo have they got? How much food do they have? Water? I mean, if I wanted to besiege the Green Zone, the first thing I'd do is cut off the water supplies.
Of course, a classic siege warfare style, Middle
Well, where's the
Ages.
pipe? Blow it.
All right, now what are you gonna do?
Yeah. And you tell me there's no casualties because nothing's been mentioned, even though videos are coming out of combat of battles going on constantly in those areas.
No, there's definitely casualties. There's definitely casualties. This is also a very hidden war. They don't want to tell the truth already. Listen, how many fighter jets have been hit? How many jets have gone down? How many
Yeah.
planes have gone down?
Yeah.
How many radar systems have been destroyed? I mean, this has been big. And I don't necessarily believe that this fire broke out on the Ford. I think that there were some hits with
Oh,
incendiary devices.
maybe from the Houthis.
Yeah, who knows?
The Houthis have said that they're in the war.
Yeah.
So,
So
yeah.
who knows? A couple drones hit that thing and they said, okay, we got to go to port.
Yeah.
But you're telling me a simple fire, 600 bunks now gone, and
30
this thing.
hours.
Come on. Come on. I mean, when a fire goes off, especially with the systems that they have, it's going to be quick that they know. And they have protocols for that. But for that, I don't know. I'm skeptical because already we don't have a clear line of sight on a lot of information and a lot of understanding of what's going on. Thankfully, we have the Iranians and other media that are telling us the different side, because otherwise we wouldn't have known. We wouldn't have known
Oh,
a lot of this.
absolutely, absolutely. You know, I've got a conversation. Let's see, when was it going to be? Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking to Cameron McGregor.
Perfect.
I'm not saying who he's related to or anybody else that he's related to, or if he's related to anybody, that's not for me to say. But he is a former U.S. Navy officer, and I'm
Oh,
going to be
okay.
talking to him quite about on this exactly. So how
Perfect.
likely is this a real fire, you know, by lint or by some machine malfunction versus a strike, or even somebody had sabotaged it? I mean, 30 hours.
I look forward to hearing that, because I think that's what we need to understand. We need to know more about what's going on inside the ships, what's the protocols, has this happened before? Because I never heard of something like this happen before.
Oh, fires happen.
No, fires
Oh,
happen. But of this magnitude, that's what I'm saying.
yeah.
For sure, of course, it's not, out of the ordinary. But of this magnitude, 30 hours, 600 people not being able to sleep, they're sleeping on the floor and on tables.
Oh, they're
That's
double bunking more likely.
yeah.
It'll be
That's how the media was
realistic.
portraying it. But still, it's just what's going on. And hush, hush, everything's hush, hush. Nobody's saying a word about
Oh,
this. In
yeah.
fact, we got it from the Greek press. That there's some questions about the fire and how it started and things like that, because it went to port of call in Crete. So
Well, yeah, the ships, look, that ship has been out to sea for 11 months. That's a cascading effect too. These systems start to break down, and that's
oh
a
yeah.
cascading effect that starts hitting other systems. Moisture buildup, fungal buildup from shite water splashing around because you're not flooded in some areas, and so on and so on. That hits the filtration systems. Medical emergencies start to build up because people get infections and so on. It's a cascading effect.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you think about that, that's a big ship. Now think about those guys on the destroyers that have been out there for 11 months. 350 men on a relatively small ship, all things considered. I
Yeah.
mean, and you've been out to sea for 11 months. Or the guys on the submarines have been, there's two submarines in that battle group. They've been
Yikes.
out to sea for 11 months.
Yikes.
I mean, that's abuse of your men. That's incredible abuse of your sailors.
I'd really be interested to know about the morale.
Oh, it can't be high.
It can't be. I don't think so. I don't
You
think so.
know, no,
I'm
no
more
way in hell.
worried
Yeah. Well, you
about
heard about the British nuclear sub, which are actually American nuclear subs at the British lease, the four Typhoon class subs. One of them, they did a surprise drug test, and they like a third of the crew were doing heavy drugs. Heavy drug, not a little
myself.
joint, but no, I'm gonna talk about Zelensky heavy drugs.
Linsky.
A third of freaking crew, like my, and that's a nuclear weapon. That's a nuclear armed submarine.
Scary. Scary stuff, I'm telling you. Scary stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's insane. I mean, that's absolutely insane.
Of course, it's par for the course. We know about the heavy drug abuse in the Ukrainian regime and amongst their forces. So, par for the course. And we know the biggest drug dealers, CIA, DEA,
Yeah, unfortunately. I don't know
So
about
we
the
know.
DEA, but CIA, I'd say absolutely.
For sure.
Look, you know, the Iran-Contra affair, the heroin being smuggled in and the corpses of U.S. Killed in Vietnam from Cambodia. And come on.
Yeah.
B there's always the fault of one junior director or something, you know, that those
Oh, come on.
bastards,
For
always like that.
sure.
One second, I gotta answer.
No worries.
Okay, yeah, that's Deanna. She's waiting her turn. So
Perfect.
I've got to cut this off. Thank you for the time, Christopher. I'm still hoping to take that trip with you to Iran that we were supposed to have gone on.
Look,
Thankfully, we weren't caught there in the middle of it.
I'm in discussions with them, so let's see what happens.
Yeah,
But I
yeah.
look forward to it. I look forward to it, and I look forward
Same
to
here.
speaking to you again soon, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. We fight the fight we can fight. And I'll, you know, and Holy Easter's Pascha is coming up. For those who don't
Yes.
know, Christopher is Orthodox. He
Yes.
had the right choice in life. Pimp out for Orthodoxy.
Yes, Pascha is coming up, so wishing everybody a good Pascha as it approaches, and I hope that we become more fortismeni, more with light shining on bright week, and hopefully we have more enlightened leadership in this world. We need
God,
it.
yeah.
We need it.
No, absolutely. And I'm be after before the end of April, I'll be down in Indian country.
Perfect.
So for at least about 4 or 5 days. So I'll have
Perfect.
more to say once I can come back.
Excellent. Look forward to it, brother.
Same. Everybody, thank you. Leave your comments in the comment section. And like the channel. I always forget to say that to people. Like the channel, send it to your friends,
Like,
enemies.
subscribe, share everything.
The whole I always forget to do that.
Thank
All right, everybody, thank you. Cheers.
you.